our video guy came up to me earlier and he said, "Hey, are you going to preach for more than 40 minutes?" And I said, "Why?" And he said, "Something with the CDs or whatnot." But since we have ran a little longer than usual, I will do my best to keep it brief. But we have poured into these teenagers and they have heard preaching all week long, and I think it'd be good for the parents to hear some preaching. I didn't preach every night at camp this week. I only preached twice. Every other devotion and service, there was men from this church did the devotions, Brother John, Brother Sean, Brother Daniel Barnhart. I guess first I should thank the church for letting us go. Thank you, preacher, for giving us the opportunity. Thank you for everybody that helped. There's a lot of people that don't ever get up on the platform, don't ever get seen, don't ever get recognized. Brother Eddie, Miss Debbie, Miss Brittany, Brooklyn and Dakota came and helped, Kathy, and I think we can all agree that Chris Arsenal is the backbone of everything that we do. He makes sure everything's loaded. He makes sure all the food was cooked all week. He did it all. He only got about an hour of sleep Sunday night, and then he didn't sleep much throughout the weekend either. So he was a huge blessing. But everybody that went, thank you for coming and helping out. Everybody was invited to come up for the services. We actually had Miss Julie Howe, Miss Melissa, and Matthew Howe came up the last night for service. And let me just say, I told y'all from the pulpit, everybody was invited. And if you didn't come up, you missed out on a blessing, because we had good preaching all week. We saw souls saved every night. And these teenagers didn't just talk to me. I know the ones that came up here and testified mostly said they talked to me, but there were other people that were there that they talked to. Brother Sean was able to help some people. Brother Josh Crabtree came up and preached. He was able to help some people. There were other adults that were able to help. And maybe if you were there, you could have been have the opportunity and be in the position to help. But thank you all you men that came up and gave a devotion and preached. I do believe everything was exactly the way the Lord planned it out. Miss Karen McKenzie came full of the Holy Ghost, and I wasn't down there with the girls, but I was told by Miss Debbie, Brittany, and Kathy that she's got God all over her, and she helped them girls. So if you have your Bibles tonight, let's turn to the book of John, chapter number 3. The book of John and chapter number 3. As I said before, I'll try to be brief tonight, but I'm not going to skip out on any information I want to give. Amen? Brother Daniel Barnhart came up every morning and cooked breakfast, and he didn't even stay. He just came and cooked breakfast. That's being a servant. Amen. He has a servant's heart. Came up, cooked breakfast, and left. And by God, that boy can cook some pancakes. John chapter number 3. I'm going to read verse number 8. This is the same verse I read last year, the Sunday night right after camp. "The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit." Lord, I thank you for this day. I thank you for another day of life. I thank you for the souls that were saved this week, Lord. All the glory, all the honor goes to you. We cannot do any of this without you. Lord, I pray that you'd hide me behind the cross tonight. Fill me with the Spirit of God. Lord, I pray that you would do something in this place tonight that would change the rest of the time that we live on this earth, Lord. You're good to us. We're undeserving and we're unworthy. It's in Jesus' holy name I pray. You may be seated. As I said before, this is the scripture I read last year right after camp. That wind is the Holy Ghost. That wind is something that we don't get to control. That wind is something that comes through prayer and fasting and through studying the Word of God. And I will say with confidence that we saw the wind this week. Before we went to camp, even some of the kids were saying, "Well, there's no way it's going to be as good as last year. There's no way it's going to be as good as it was last year. We saw 7 people get saved, and it was just so much fun." But we had some people in this church praying. We had a pastor praying. We had counselors that went praying every morning, every night, prayed over these kids, and we saw the wind of God move. What we need is the wind of God to move more than just at camp. We need something to be changed back here at home. We need some parents and some church members. I'm not trying to be mean tonight. I know that it can seem as if I'm really aggressive sometimes, but the last message I preached, I believe, got a little bit of feedback from it, and people don't like when we preach like that, when we stand on foundational truths. So I'm just going to say it clearly. The King James Bible is not a preference. That's a truth. Contemporary music is not a preference. Music is a truth, biblically. We are told what to listen to. We are told what to sing. Forsaking the assembling of yourselves together, that is a Bible truth. We are to come to church. We are to be faithful to church. The reason these teenagers are changed, are different,
lives have been turned around is because the King James Bible was preached, hymns were sang, the Holy Ghost came through, and we didn't have to change anything to see God move and work and do things. He proved to us counselors, didn't he, that he still works the same way he worked when Brother Ed Blue came through. He still works the same way it worked way back in the day. So tonight I'm going to preach just for a little while to the teenagers, and then I'm going to preach a little while to the adults. So teenagers, first, listen up, and then you can go to sleep. I know you're tired from camp, all right? My pastor preached a couple months ago, and he preached on seven principles. He actually preached on six. I added one in myself. He preached on six principles, six firm foundations that we must have as Christians. And now that you've come back from camp, some of you got saved. Some of y'all dedicated your life to the Lord, and there's some decisions that's going to have to be made in your life. And these are some things that you should never forget. These are things that if you have a pen tonight, you should write down. And you should underline them in your Bible, because these are things that you need to look at when you're questioning leaving the faith. These are the things that will come into question. Number one would be God. John 1:1 tells us, Brother Paul taught on it this morning in Sunday school a little bit. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Amen. Let me tell you something. Now that you're back home, the first thing the devil's going to try to convince you is that God is against you, is that God is not God. You're going to go back to school, and this world is going to tell these teenagers that we came from a big bang. That's nonsense. The Bible tells us in the beginning, God. In the beginning, God created. God is the creator. God is the one that saved some of y'all's souls. God is the one that comforted you this week. You may think it was me. You may think it was Miss Brittany or Miss Debbie or Miss Karen. We weren't the ones that comforted you. It was the Holy Ghost of God inside of us that did something to help you. And we need some adults to get full of God to the point to where you can help some of these teenagers. Because I can't do it on my own. I'm not going to be able to keep up with 20 kids. One of the kids gave me a nickname at camp, and they said, "Oh, you're the camp dad." It's hard to discipline 20 kids. It's hard to keep them all in line. But we need these kids to stay in church. We need these kids to know that God is number one, that God is the first of everything. God needs to be number one in y'all's lives. Don't let anybody convince you that God is against you. Don't let the devil tell you that God has it out for you and that he is against you, because God is number one. I'm going to go through them quickly. And number one is God. Satan's going to try to convince you that God is not God or that God is against you. Number two is the scripture. Psalm 119:11, the Bible says, "Thy word have I hid my heart, that I might not sin against thee." You want to do right? You want to do what you're supposed to? You read your Bible. You came back from camp, we read the Bible to you every day. Some of these older boys, I went down one night, they had their Bible open, couldn't hardly read it. It was kind of sad because they're high schoolers. But praise God, they had their King James Bible open and they were reading it. One of them came to me the next day and said, "Hey, I started reading in the book of Job," and I told him the story of Job, real summary, and it applied to his life. That's God. That's God working in these teenagers' life. Don't ever let anybody tell you that the King James Bible is not the inspired word of God. The King James Bible is the truth. It is our foundation. Everybody wants to change it. Everybody wants to read from a different version. This is the only word of God. That's why we gave you a King James Bible if you don't have one. Hide the word of God in your heart, and it will help you when you run into a place of temptation or when you hit a brick wall in life. The word of God is what will get you through that. Number one was God. Number two is the scripture. Number three is the true gospel. Anytime you come in contact with anybody, the only reason any of us are making it to heaven is by Jesus Christ. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh into the Father but by me. We didn't preach a watered-down gospel to these kids this week, folks. One of them boys said, "Man, you put the fear of God in us." And I said, "Yeah, that's because the Bible tells us that's the beginning of knowledge, isn't it, preacher? Fearing God is the beginning of all wisdom. Fearing God is the beginning of earning some discernment and earning some knowledge. God gives you knowledge when you choose to fear God." All right, the gospel is that Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven. You're a sinner. Without God, you die and go to hell. If you're in here tonight, and I know I'm talking to the teenagers right now and I'm staring at them for the most part, but let me tell you something. If you're in here tonight and you don't have God that has covered your soul with the blood of Jesus Christ, you're going to die and go to hell. I don't say that lightly. I don't say it flippantly, and I don't say it because I'm trying to be mean. I say it because it's true. And it breaks my heart that there's people that sit in this church and they're going to die and go to hell. And it breaks my heart some of the teenagers that I know are lost and they chose not to get saved by the blood of Jesus Christ, even after watching other kids get saved. Hell is not a joke, friend. Hell ain't a joke. If you die without God, You will enter eternity and that place will be hell. Without the blood of Jesus Christ on your soul, you will not make it into that glorious place. We didn't only tell them about the horrors of hell. I told them about the gloriousness of heaven. And I had some of them come to me and say, you know, I want to dedicate my life to the Lord because that place you described is so wonderful. That place you described, there's going to be no more pain and no more sorrow. Jesus Christ is the only one that gets you there. Jesus Christ is the only one that gets you out of the misery that you're living in. I could preach on this one for an hour and a half, Brother Roger, but I got to keep moving. I got to keep it under 40 minutes, Brother Johnny. I'm watching. Number four is there's two natures. Paul tells us in Romans chapter 7, verses 14 through 25. He talks about them two natures. Now that you're back home, you're going to go out in the world. And God has been put inside of you. And you have been soaked down with the Word of God. Once you get out in that world, once you get home, it's probably already happened to half of y'all. Your flesh wants to do wrong. Your flesh wants you to talk the way you used to talk. Your flesh wants you to start fornicating again. Your flesh wants you to do drugs. Your flesh wants you to drink alcohol. Your flesh makes you want to live in the world. There are two natures. And the sweetness and the goodness that happened this week is because we chose to let God win. We chose to follow the Spirit of God and not go after our flesh. Parents, you better watch your kids. You better make sure that they're not following after the flesh. Some of y'all, your kids still live at home and they're of an age where you need to be watching them. You need to make sure they're not tempted with certain things. You need to make sure they're faithful to the house of God. You need to make sure that they know there's two natures inside of them. Whichever dog you feed is a dog that's going to get biggest. It's your choice whether you end up in the ditch as a drug addict or whether you end up in the church, in the ministry somewhere. And it's based upon the decisions you make. You can be saved and still die of an overdose. You can be saved and still end your life in prison. There are two natures. And it goes back to everything else. Don't forget God is number one. Don't forget the Scriptures is what helps you. And don't forget the one that saved you is the one that's going to help you win that battle between the two natures. I would hate to see y'all come home and jump right back in the world after God changed some of y'all's lives. Number five would be condemnation versus conviction. Some of y'all got rough lives. You're going to go back home and it ain't going to be easy. And you're going to make a mistake. We all make mistakes. Y'all might be laughing at these kids for getting up and singing and you think it's sad that they're not dressed right and all that. Well, get off your high horse. We all make mistakes. We all do things we ain't supposed to do, all right? We need to love these kids. We need to love these kids. And it might be good for some of y'all after service tonight to come talk to some of these kids. Or maybe they'll walk out and say, nobody in that church talked to me. I don't want to go back to that church. Then that's on us. That's on us. We had them all week. They didn't have nobody to talk to other than us. Now it's different. The devil, when you make a mistake, is going to say, you're unworthy. You're going to make a mistake and he's going to say, God can't use you. You're going to make a mistake and he's going to say, there's no reason to go back to church. Listen to me. You will make a mistake. I make mistakes every day. The difference between condemnation and conviction is there was conviction this week. And I believe all the counselors can testify. Every preacher that preached, there was conviction in that house this week, in that cabin. God was moving. We made them sit there in silence because that's when God likes to move the most. We made them get separated and get by themselves. And them that were saved, pray for the other ones. When you make a mistake, the devil's going to condemn you. Conviction is what you felt at camp when God said, hey, you need to give your life to the Lord. Or when God said, hey, you need to get saved before you die and go to hell. That's conviction. Condemnation is when you accidentally make a mistake and the devil says, it ain't worth going to church. Oh, you're unworthy. You're not fit to do this. You don't dress right. You don't act right. You don't sing right. You don't do this right. That's the devil. Know that the devil is going to come after you. The devil is going to condemn you and tell you this is all worthless and you ain't worth nothing. Conviction is when you sin and God says, you've made a mistake, son. You've made a mistake. And you know, according to the Word of God, that you've made a mistake. And when God says, hey, you're lost, you're going to die and go to hell. That's conviction. Conviction is God wanting to bring you closer to himself. Condemnation is the devil trying to push you away from church. Anytime you have a thought to leave the church, that's the devil. Anytime the Lord says, come as you are, you can get help here. That's conviction. That's God. Number six would be fellowship with the believers. We're back home now. You don't get to be around us all the time. We can't force you to wake up at 7 o'clock and eat breakfast and have a devotion. We can't force you to sit down and preach to you every night. Let me tell you what's important in y'all's lives is fellowship with believers. That means making friends with each other. You all of you need to be friends with each other. Amen. All of you adults need to make friends with some of these kids so that they'll keep coming back to this church. So that the big church with all the lights don't take them out of here. You need to be friends with these kids. Listen to me. The only reason I've made it in the ministry is because I've had a handful of pals. I've had a handful of friends that kept me straight and helped me. And they were friends I had that were believers. My pastor is my authority, but he is my friend. And he loves me and he has helped me. Brother Sean is my friend. I know if I make a mistake, he's going to correct me. Brother Sam is my friend. And brother, I know if I get caught out in sin somewhere, you're going to come to me and tell me. And when I make a mistake, I've got some people in here that's going to restore me by the grace of God. We need to be friends with these teenagers so that they know when they make a mistake, this is a place of restoration. Amen. And we're not going to kick them to the dogs. Amen. It's a blessing to see these teenagers near tonight. Amen. And it's up to us whether they come back or not. You say, oh, God will handle all that. No, we've got to put effort in. We've got to pray. We've got to love on them. Let them know that this is a place where we love them. I guess I'm just preaching to the adults tonight. The last one is obedience. Every devotion, every service, even when I preached, I didn't even try to preach on it, but it ended up, I heard that word, every service and every devotion was obedience. Listen, the devil's going to condemn y'all. The devil's going to try to get y'all out of church. If you be obedient to God, he will bless you beyond measure. He will give you more than anything this world has to offer. And I've got old preachers sitting in here right now that'll tell you they've served God for a long time. And serving God and being obedient is worth everything. Amen. Brother Daniel came in and preached on the valley of decision. When you go out in the world tomorrow, you're going to be in the valley of decision. And your choice is to be like David, which is what Brother John Barnhart taught on, realizing what Brother Sean taught on, that every day is a gift from God and every day counts, and it's going to be your choice to be obedient to God or not. Amen. Amen. You want that joy that you got this week? You want that joy that turned your life around? Be obedient to God, amen, and it will change your life, amen, forever. Amen. Be obedient to God. That's seven truths. Good, now let's turn to the book of Luke. Chapter number 22. Luke in chapter number 22. I had a pastor friend of mine point this out to me in the scripture a couple weeks ago, and I started reading it and praying over it. And I knew that this is what the Lord wanted me to preach on tonight. And I won't be long, I promise. It'll be simple, hopefully. Luke chapter number 22, verse number 10. The Bible says, "And he said unto them," now Jesus is speaking here, "behold, when you are entered into the city, there shall a man meet you bearing a pitcher of water. Follow him into the house where he entereth in." I started looking at this scripture. What does water represent in the Bible? Power. Water represents something big. Think of the flood. Flooded the whole earth. Think of how Jesus brought water from a rock. That's through the power of God. The Red Sea, Jesus Christ, God the Father split the Red Sea. Living water comes from Jesus Christ. It's a picture of power. Every time you see water in the Bible, there's something miraculous. There's something big about it. Not to mention that Jesus Christ is the living water where we shall never thirst again. So I was looking at this scripture and I was thinking about how we need some more men and women to be the ones with the pitcher of water. This is the only time in Scripture, the only time in Scripture, if I'm wrong, you come to me after church and you tell me. This is the only time in Scripture where Jesus tells the disciples to follow anybody other than himself. And it's when they're headed to the Last Supper. He says, find the man with the pitcher of water. I believe with all my heart that we need some men, some women that are these people, some parents and some adults. Let's look at it a little deeper. We ought to follow Jesus, obviously. That's a given. But you look through your Bible and there are mentors through the Bible. Paul mentored Timothy. Paul mentored Titus. Paul mentored some people. He showed them the right way. He followed God and they followed them. We need some people that these teenagers can yoke up with. And when they get out of the church, they're not just looking like the world and acting like the world. Some of you parents need to make sure that you are the person with the pitcher of water. Let's look at some attributes of this man with the pitcher of water. He was a silent man. He didn't say anything. Jesus said, find that man with the pitcher of water. He's going to take you where you're supposed to go. He didn't need recognition. Amen. Being truly humble for God makes you hungry for God. Yeah. You don't have to have recognition.
Right.
Brother Daniel didn't get up here this evening on the platform, but he came up every day and cooked breakfast for these kids. That's a servant. Yes, this man was a servant. He did what Jesus Christ told him to do. He carried that pitcher of water, and he didn't have to say, look at me carrying this pitcher of water. Hey, look at me. Look what I've done. We need some people in the church like that, don't we, Brother Sean?
Amen.
We need some people that don't need recognition for everything. We need some people that are have a little bit of humility to them. And when you get upset that you weren't chosen, you weren't picked, that proves that you don't have that humility.
Amen.
We need some people walking around silent with that pitcher of water just going exactly where God wants them to go. And we're going to get to why it's important here in a minute. He's a silent man. He's a solo man. You know what helps when you're solo all by yourself? Helps you become a sacred person. You get by yourself. You get with God. You do something different. I've got a man in my life. That's the man with the pitcher of water. And he's sitting on this front pew right here. He gets up and he preaches with the power of God. I need help. I give him a call. Why? Because he's walking around with the pitcher of water. You know what the pitcher of water is a picture of? He's walking around with the Holy Ghost of God. He's walking around with the power. He's walking around with something that has changed my life. He's walking around and I'm able to look at him and say, a preacher, you've got something that I want. You've got something that I've won. There's other men in this church. Brother Barnhart, I don't mean to call you out and embarrass you. Brother Barnhart came up there and gave a devotion. He was full of God. He didn't holler at him and scream and preach at him, but he is a man walking around with this pitcher of water. Some of you teenagers ought to go talk to that man because he'll help you in your Christian life. This pastor will help y'all in your Christian life. We need some people to be the ones carrying the pitcher of water. We need some people that are walking around, and when people look at them, they say, hey, there's something different about that person. You say, oh, you always preach on the Holy Ghost, because that's what we're missing. We're missing people that are full of God. We're missing people that don't need recognition for everything. We're missing people that just always want to be with the crowd, always want to preach the big meeting. We don't have any people that just want to get lowly.
Amen.
And serve God and do what they're supposed to.
Yeah. Yeah,
we need some people that these teenagers can follow after. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
We need some people walking around with the pitcher of water.
Man.
He was a solo man. He was a sacred man. All the glory was given to God. You read through that scripture. He didn't walk into the house and say, look what I prepared. He just did exactly what God told him to. He walked down his path. He entered them into that house. It says nothing else about him. All he was somebody to lead somebody on the right way. What does that look like in you adults' life? Walk straight. Thank God I was raised with parents that walked a straight line. Thank God I walked and I've been in a church with a pastor that has walked a straight line. People have questioned his integrity, but he has got the power of God, which tells me that he's walking a straight line and he's doing what he's supposed to. Some of you parents need to get on a straight line for your kids. What happened this week at camp is going to disappear tomorrow because next Sunday you're going to decide that you shouldn't bring them to Sunday school. You're going to decide that making them come to church on Wednesday night ain't quite worth it. Let me tell you something. It is worth it.
Amen.
It is putting them in church. Some of y'all parents need to start bringing your kids to church faithfully.
Amen.
Some of y'all parents need to be able to go home and say, hey, mom and daddy got to walk with God. And some of y'all think you got to walk with God and then your kids come and talk to me. And trust me, I know how kids are. And I pray for discernment to know which ones are lying and which ones aren't. But some of y'all act like good parents and your kids tell me how you live at home. Yeah, I'm getting tater patches now. It's bothering people now. You want this generation to be running the church one day with the power of God on them? You better get a hold of the pitcher of water for your kids.
Amen.
You better get God on you for your kids. You better be faithful to the house of God. You better teach them what matters. My dad worked 2-3 jobs my whole life. My whole life. He was exhausted all the time. I remember waking up in the middle of the night to eat because I didn't eat supper. I'd get up in the middle of the night to eat. My dad's about to go throw papers after he got home from a night shift job. It's like 3:30 in the morning. My dad would be sitting at the table reading his Bible. You know what that teaches me? That's what matters.
Amen.
I've got grandparents that every time they walk in the room, it begins to glow. Why? Because my grandmother has been faithful to the house of God. She's had people at her church hurt her family. She's had people at her church that have hurt our family. But they have always taught me to be faithful to the house of God. Amen. Some of y'all need to start teaching your kids to be faithful. Amen. Or they're going to end up being a harlot. Or they're going to end up being a drug dealer. And you think, oh, we've got a good life at home. They need the house of God to be driven the way they're supposed to be driven. They need a good Sunday school teacher. Brother Paul Howell teaches these teens, and he has, man, here lately, I get a lot of my sermons from his teaching. He prays, he studies, he teaches these kids the book. Amen. Wednesday nights, I go up there, I hang out with them, I goof off with them, and I do my best to teach them. That's what your kids need. They need to be in the house of God. They need to be taught right. They need to be understanding that it matters to be faithful. We need some parents to start being faithful. You don't make your kids come, you're slacking. My parents forced me to go. I can't preach it from a parent's perspective. I know every situation is different. My parents made me go. When my parents were sick, they kicked us off to our grandparents. Our grandparents took us. We were always in church. I look back now and I thank God that my parents taught me that it mattered to be faithful. Listen to me, kids. This is what's going to hurt some of you parents, but I'm going to say it because it's true. Find you somebody carrying the pitcher of water. Whether it's your parents or whether it's somebody else. Because the fact of the matter is, some of y'all's parents aren't carrying the pitcher of water. And I don't know when they're going to decide to pick up the pitcher of water and get full of God and show you the way it's supposed to be. So you find somebody.
Amen.
And if you need help finding somebody, I'll help you find somebody.
Right,
all y'all, it ain't got to be me, but there's other people in this church that love God, amen, that walk with God, that will help y'all, that will give y'all direction. Find somebody
right
carrying the pitcher of water. You go home and your parents aren't doing it, find somebody.
Amen.
Now, God forbid these teenagers have to find somebody other than their own parents carrying this pitcher of water. Some of you parents need to get right with God. These kids came to camp full of the world. Full of the world. Man, it's tight in here now. They came to camp full of the world. I preached a couple weeks ago on a burden. I got to camp the first night, and I sat in my bed, and I just cried thinking about how worldly these kids are. They've got the world all over them. And I'm thinking, my dad never would have let me see that. My dad never would have let me say that. My grandparents never would have let me act like that and be like that. Some of you parents need to get right with God. You need to show your kids the right way. You want your kids to be in church the rest of their life? You better teach them how to be faithful. You better teach them not just in here. You can put on a show in here. And you know, I'll just be honest, I know y'all, most of y'all that are putting on a show. I learned at camp. I learned which kids are in the world. I learned which kids aren't disciplined. I learned which kids aren't being taught the Word of God at home. I've learned. Some of you parents need to get right with God. Some of you parents need to be the one carrying the pitcher of water. This pitcher of water represents the Holy Ghost of God. The Holy Ghost of God is what we're missing. And I've had people, I had a man last week say, man, every time you preach, it seems like you're preaching on the Spirit of God. You know why these kids' lives were changed? It's because the Spirit of God moved.
Amen.
The wind blew. We've got too many churches trying to do it with the music. We've got too many churches trying to do it with modernizing everything. I'm not telling these churches to change. Let me make it clear. You do whatever you want with your church. But if you're a member of this church, you need to get on the straight path, and you need to make sure these kids know what it means to live for God.
Amen.
Because that's what being full of the Holy Ghost is. I've got people in my life full of the Holy Ghost. Parents, ask yourself, can your kids look at you and know that it matters to be faithful to church? Can your kids look at you and know that it matters to read their Bible? Can your kids look at you and know that it's a sin to fornicate? Can your kids look at you and know that it's a sin to drink alcohol? Do your kids look at you and know they shouldn't touch any nicotine product?
Oh my.
Are your kids able to look at you and say, that is a follower of Jesus Christ?
Yeah, amen.
And it's tight in here tonight.
Yeah. Come on, brother. You're good, brother. Amen.
And I'm going to get flack for this, preacher. And I know I am, because I've said it straight. But it goes back to what I preached a couple weeks ago. I'm building this wall. And I'll say it loud. I'll build it by myself if I have to. I'm building this wall like Nehemiah did. The wall is falling down. We've got some teenagers that got saved by the grace of God. If we leave the wall down, they will walk out of the town. We have to build the wall back up. And me and preacher can't do it by ourselves. We need some adults. We need some parents to get real with God. Not be pharisaical, but to get real with Christ. I had a handful of different types of people come to camp. I started praying months ago about who to have in for camp, who to preach, who to do devotions. I knew I didn't want to do it every night. And it changed over and over again. And finally, the Lord gave me who He wanted. And I only asked these men, I asked a couple of them a couple months in advance when God gave me the guarantee, but some of them I didn't ask until a week or two before camp. These men came up and everybody's personality was different. Brother Barnhart's got a different personality than Brother Sean. They got a different personality than Brother Daniel. We had Josh Crabtree come up and preach, who is like Jeremiah, the weeping prophet. We had my brother come up and preach for us one night, and he's more or less like a weeping prophet. And then we had one of my friends come up on Friday, and he's hellfire and brimstone preaching. You know what I tried to teach him? That has nothing to do with the personality. It has to do with people's walk with God. Everybody is made different. All of you parents are made different. I'm not telling you to be like somebody else. I'm telling you to get a hold of God. I'm asking you to get a hold of God so that your kids can be raised. You know, I guarantee you sitting over here tonight, there are one day preachers sitting over here. There are some young people over here that will be called into the ministry preaching the word of God. There are some ladies that are going to marry a preacher, and they're going to serve alongside of their husband and do what they're supposed to. But how are they going to stay on the straight and narrow path if we don't have anybody carrying the pitcher of water? Not for you to come into the church and say, look what I taught my kid, look what we've done, but just for you to be faithful, just for you to get full of God so that your kids can see a difference in you. Who's it going to be? I hate to stand by myself carrying a pitcher of water. This is what we did at camp. I sat in silence, let God say something to you. I can preach as hard as I want. Without the Holy Ghost saying something to you, don't matter. Think about what I'm telling you tonight. You all know, if you're questioning if I'm talking to you, the answer is yes. That's God telling you need to be faithful. That's God telling you to be the one carrying the pitcher of water. I thank God for the men in my life carrying the pitcher of water. I watch Brother Roger Lee walking through the back door, and I watch him, see how he talks to people, see what he does. He's carrying that pitcher of water. I watch the way my pastor talks to people. I try to learn from him because he's carrying the pitcher of water. I thank God for the pitcher of water. You know what the pitcher of water is? It's what happened this morning when these teenagers started singing and people started worshiping. That's the Holy Ghost, friend. Amen. That's God touching your soul and doing something that only He can do. Amen. Why do you not want that every service? Right. Why do you not want that all the time? Right. It's not when the music goes. We need a move of God. We need the Holy Spirit indwelling inside of us and filling us so full that our cup is overflowing so that other people can get around us and learn what it means to be with God. I have a family that prayed over me. I had a family that prayed for me. Some of you parents need to get real with God. You can't expect your kid to get real with God at camp if you're not going to get real with God. Some of y'all need to get right, and you need to get right tonight. Some of y'all need to apologize to your kids for not teaching them what was right. But what you watched tonight was teenage boys taking up the offering, teenagers singing in a choir, teen girls singing the special. This is the next generation. This is what I preached on last time I preached. This is what matters. What's going to happen if they're not here? There is no next generation. Lord, I thank you for the opportunity you've given us to be here tonight. Lord, I can shout and holler all I want, but without you coming down and sending the Holy Ghost conviction, it means nothing. I pray that you would send such strong Holy Ghost conviction that people can't do anything but come to an altar and make a decision for you. Lord, I pray that these teenagers would give their life to you fully so that one day when they get out in the world without their parents, they know what it means to walk on the straight and narrow way. You're good to us, Lord. We're undeserving. We give you the praise, the glory, the honor for everything. It's in Jesus' holy name I pray. Amen.